I'd like us to look at 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. John writes, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all." I'm using the New King James Version, which is the one I'm used to, but the message is there, just the same, whichever version we use. "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all." We can't begin to imagine, can we, what a wonderful privilege it was for the Apostle John to have walked and talked with the Son of God, to know his loving companionship, to hear firsthand the wise and gracious teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, to see the gentle and powerful way that he dealt with the sick and the sorrowing and the repentant sinner, to be present when the Lord's face shone like the sun and his clothes became white as the light, and then to witness the Lord's suffering, his blasphemous abuse, his terrible death, but then to see him and to talk with him in his risen body. All this close and awesome experience of the Lord Jesus and his ministry had left an enduring mark upon the mind and the heart of John. He wants to tell others all that he has learned from the Lord, and all that the Holy Spirit has revealed to him about the Lord since the Lord has ascended into heaven. All that the Spirit has taught him concerning the word of life, he wants to tell his readers. And this is why he wrote, first of all, his gospel and then his epistles. And here in the first chapter of his first epistle, he goes right to the very essence of the gospel. He wants to make their joy complete. And so he tells them, "This is the message that we have heard from him, from the Lord Jesus Christ, and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." Friends, this is a truly wonderful message. It's one that we need to have in our own hearts constantly. It's a message that can't fail, if we understand it, to thrill us and to comfort us, and yet to challenge us at the same time, as we shall see. So I want to see three aspects of this message found in this first chapter of John's letter. There's a lot here, a lot of detail. We have to bypass some of that detail. But there are three main lessons here, it seems to me. First of all, God is light, not darkness. Secondly, God has revealed his light. And thirdly, we must walk in his light. First of all, then, God is light, not darkness. There it is in verse 5. God is light, in him is no darkness at all. Most of John's readers were brought up steeped in heathen religions. They'd been taught from youth to worship Zeus, Hermes, Epaphrodite, other man-made gods. And these gods were invariably associated with the very worst immorality, vice, cruelty, deceit. That's the kind of gods they were. They were gods who could cheat and lie. They were licentious. They were self-indulgent. They were spiteful gods. They were really a blown-up version, if you like, of a man's sinful nature. These gods were grossly polluted in wickedness. They were the very embodiment of darkness. The religion of those people who were worshipping such a god was a religion of darkness. Well, what a contrast, what an amazing contrast with the living God. He is light in his essential nature. He is the source of all light. There's no light apart from him. This is true, of course, in a physical sense. We see it so clearly at the time of the creation of the world. Genesis chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. "Darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, 'Let there be light.' And there was light. But there was no sun. There was no moon. There were no stars. They were created later on the fourth day of creation. But God is the original and ultimate source of all energy, including light energy. And there is absolutely no reason why God should not bathe the earth with light without the sun. And this is what he did on the very first day of creation. So God is light in that physical sense. But of course, the Apostle John is telling us much more than that in these verses. He's telling us that God is light in a moral and spiritual sense. And in him is no darkness at all in this sense. He's the very opposite of those pagan gods. The first thing we can say about God as we think of him as light is that he's altogether glorious and full of beauty. There's no dullness about God's appearance. There's certainly not a trace of ugliness as there was in these man-made gods. The prophet Habakkuk describes his vision of God, and he says in chapter 3, verses 3 and 4 of his prophecy, his glory covered the heavens, his brightness was like the light. And then the writer of Psalm 104 praises God with these words, O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty, who cover yourself with light as with a garment. But the brilliant light of God's magnificence tells us also of his purity. The Israelites sang God's praises when he had brought them through the Red Sea. And they sang these words, Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness? Find that in Exodus chapter 15 and verse 11. So the second thing we can say about God as light then is not only that he's glorious and full of beauty, but he's holy, he is pure. There's no trace of sin in our holy God. He is spotless, he's lovely. With nothing foul, nothing unclean in his character. No malice, no cruelty, no deceit. He's perfectly clean, kind, gentle, compassionate, trustworthy. Of course, he's righteous in his anger against sin. And in his punishment of unforgiven sinners, that righteousness is there. But it's all part of his beauty, really. Because sin is darkness, as we shall see in a moment. And God is light, even in his justice, even in his wrath against sin. And his very nature is love and light. Sin is associated with darkness, isn't it? Men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. If you're going to do something and you don't want other people to see, it's a little crime, or even a big crime, whatever it might be, you often do it in the darkness. That's why we are wary of locking our houses up and maybe putting security lights on and so forth, because thieves come at night. Sin is associated with darkness. In Proverbs chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, the writer says, The path of the just is like a shining sun that shines even brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. So light speaks of uprightness, goodness, purity, love, peace. These all come from God. These all express God's nature of light, wherever they are found. But then thirdly, light in God, the character of God as light, speaks of truth. If there's something we don't understand, we say, I'm in the dark about that. Or if we tell lies to someone, which we shouldn't do and we hopefully never do, we say we're keeping them in the dark. Or if we hold something back from someone who ought to know something that we know, and we're keeping them in the dark. Psalm 82 verse 5 speaks of the wicked. They do not know, nor do they understand. They walk about in darkness. They do not know. They're kept ignorant. They don't know the truth. They don't understand the truth. They don't appreciate the truth. But light suggests openness, truthfulness, enlightening. God possesses all knowledge and all wisdom. And since he is light, he is open with us. He never deceives. God tells us the truth. And he tells us in his word as much of the truth as we can ever understand upon this earth, while we're in these earthly bodies. Psalm 19 in verses 7 and 8 is a wonderful commentary on this. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. So this is our God. And what a great God he is. We've just scratched the surface, haven't we, of his immense character in terms of the fact that God is light. Glorious, beautiful, pure, lovely, truthful. And he's all these things forever. When the world has been consumed and recreated, when the sun and moon are no more, God will shine forth as light in every sense of the word. Isaiah tells us in chapter 60 of his prophecy, verse 19, the sun shall no longer be your light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give light to you, but the Lord will be to you an everlasting light, and your God your glory. How urgently the world needs to be told of the light of God. How urgently the world around us needs to be told that they can enter into light when they know God. They need to appreciate the light of God in these dark days. We live in very dark days. And we need to shine as representatives of God, as it were, in this world and shine forth in the light and bring that message of light. Earlier in Isaiah chapter 60, in the second verse, the prophet describes the state of the world before the coming of the Saviour. And in a sense, he could certainly be writing these words in the 21st century, and in particular in the Britain of the 21st century. Isaiah said, "Behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people." In the world today, we are surrounded, we are hemmed in. We're almost suffocated by darkness, aren't we? The sheer ugliness of sin is showing itself more and more in our society. The appalling wickedness and deprivation are destroying the beauty of childhood in many places throughout the world and indeed in our own nation. Young people who should be rejoicing in opportunities, achievements, and healthy activities, happy relationships, are very often living in ugliness, the ugliness of drink, drugs, and violence, and all manner of destructive self-abuse and broken relationships. They're living in darkness when they should be living in light. Men and women of all ages are living in the way described in Romans chapter 1, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. That's an interesting one. Sin in its basic nature never changes. But all the time you're hearing of new inventions to demonstrate, if you like, the evil of sin. People are making up evil things, especially in this world of modern technology. This is ugliness. It's all ugliness, spiritual and moral darkness. We are surrounded then by the darkness also of false beliefs, teaching that is blatantly opposed to the word of God, and some of it even in the name of Christianity. Darkness of false teaching and false religion. How desperately then our nation needs to return to an appreciation of the God who is light. And that is our mission in the world, to shine forth. Because the Lord Jesus not only said, "I am the light of the world," he said to his disciples, and he says to you and me, "You are the light of the world. Shine forth this precious truth in these days." It may be that you are in urgent need yourself of discovering the light of God in your own heart. It may be that you are in need this morning of rediscovering the joy of knowing the light of God which you once enjoyed and from which you seem to have departed. Perhaps you are groping hopelessly in the darkness that surrounds you in this world and in the darkness of sin in your own heart. If this is your situation this morning, then you urgently need to escape from this darkness and to begin enjoying the light of God in your soul. But how can that happen? How can we escape from darkness, the darkness of sin? How can we know this God who is light in our own souls? Well, by realizing that God reveals his light And this is the wonderfully good news of this chapter in John's letter. We see here not only that God is light and no darkness, but we see secondly that God reveals his light. John tells us in verses 1 to 3 here, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you. And he's talking about his experience of being with the Lord Jesus and hearing his teaching and receiving his teaching from the Holy Spirit even since the Lord has departed to heaven. God has revealed his light to John as he has been with the Lord Jesus, the Son of God in the flesh. John has seen the light, its glory, its beauty, its purity, its truth have been revealed to him because he has walked with Jesus. He's walked with the one who said, I am the light of the world. Firstly, John has seen the visible light of God, the physical light, if you like, on the mountain there. We've already referred to that when the Lord was transfigured before him and his face shone like the sun and his clothes became white as the light. He had a visible appreciation of the physical light of God, if you like. The Saul of Tarsus had a similar experience on the Damascus Road, when suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And this light was the light of God, and it was revealed to Saul in the Lord Jesus Christ. But even more wonderfully, of course, the Lord Jesus reveals the light of God to the world in a spiritual sense. The promise of the Saviour is often described in the Old Testament as the sending of light into a dark world, the revealing of the light of God and his salvation to a needy world. And so in that prophecy at the beginning of Isaiah 60, which I mentioned a moment ago, the prophet doesn't simply say, behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and deep darkness the people. But he also says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. The Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And if we look back further back into Isaiah's prophecy, that chapter 9 that we often read at Christmas, in verse 2 there, Isaiah says a similar thing. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. He's speaking in the future tense, but he is talking about something that is coming in the future. He's prophesying the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he goes on then to say, and to us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and so on. The Saviour has come to bring light and life into the world. The Lord Jesus walked the earth, and as he did so, he radiated divine light in everything he did, in all his attitudes, in all his approach and his teaching. He possessed all the qualities of light that we associated with God a moment ago. Beauty, purity, truth. Everything about the Lord Jesus was the very opposite of darkness. In him there was not a trace of ugliness or unpleasantness or unkindness, no deceit. There was nothing sinister about the Lord Jesus, nothing menacing, nothing fearful. And friends, if there is worship going on this morning, either in Shepshed or anywhere else, under the name of Christianity, and yet in an environment of some kind of menacing fear, then it's of darkness. It's not of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not of the Holy Spirit. Whatever kind of miracles people may say they've witnessed in such worship and surround us in this nation all the time, it's not the work of the Holy Spirit, because there's a fear, there's a dark, there's a literal darkness sometimes. I heard of someone, I'm sure it happened many times, a certain group of worshippers came, they wanted to lead the service, but we must have the lights down. We must have the lights down. Darkness. And what they did was of darkness. We must be so careful about these things. There was nothing like that in the Lord Jesus Christ. He demonstrated deep compassion for everyone he met. And above all, he showed his immense love for sinners when he suffered and died for them in agony upon the cross. And when we know the Lord Jesus as our personal Saviour, we know light in our souls. We know light in our worship together. And it's a truly remarkable blessing as we live in a world that is shrouded in darkness. Do you appreciate this morning that you've come to a service in which we can bask, if you like, in the light of God and His precious Son, our Lord Jesus Christ? And outside in the world, there's all sorts of things going on. And it all represents darkness if it is engaged in by people who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, the Apostle Paul speaks of the light of the Lord Jesus and His salvation. And he says, "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." And the Apostle Peter, in his first letter, is speaking of those who have been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. And in particular, he says, they have been called out of darkness into the Lord's marvelous light. Everyone who doesn't know the Lord Jesus as Savior is walking in darkness. God speaks to unbelievers, and He says, "Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear." Could there be any deeper darkness than that? That God, the light, has turned His face from us. That's what it means to walk in unbelief and in sin. All sin is darkness. Our worship of modern idols, our possessions, our pleasure, our selfish ambition. If we worship these things before God, it's darkness. Any measure of lack of care that we have shown, lack of compassion for the needy, it's darkness. The hatred or bitterness that we sometimes harbour in our hearts. And we come to church and we sit in the same building as people and we are perhaps harbouring a bitterness, a deep grudge. It's darkness. Our dishonesty, our white lies, so-called, our deceit, whatever it involves, is darkness. Our impure thoughts are darkness. Even our covetousness is darkness. Which of us is innocent of that? And above all, our failure to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our strength, our falling short in the obedience of this first and greatest commandment is darkness. And until we are saved by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, this state of darkness is carrying us further and further away from God and will bring us down into hell. And in hell there is no light. The light of God is not there. Oh, God is there. He's there in His anger. He's there in His judgment, in His punishment. There is darkness of eternal punishment. There and no light. The only way out of this awful prospect is by believing in the one who has revealed the light of God to us. The Lord Jesus Christ, who is the brightness of God's glory and the express image of His person. And I urge you this morning, trust the one who is light, who came and died for you, that you might be brought out of darkness into His most marvelous light. But then John knows that most of his readers of this letter are already professing Christians, members of churches. So he goes on to challenge them to live as those who have come to know the light, that light which is in the Lord Jesus. So having told us that God is light, not darkness, and God reveals His light, he goes on to tell us that we must walk in the light. We must walk in the light. There are those, he says, who claim to have fellowship with God, and they claim, in other words, to be among God's saved people, and yet they walk in darkness. In other words, there are people who call themselves Christians, yet they live lives which are governed by sin and unbelief, as much as those who make no such claim. These are people who, for all their pretense, are continuing to live lives of deliberate sin. These are people who pretend to be walking in light, but whose hearts are still dark. In particular, even though they are regular worshippers, they're uncomfortable with true Christians. They don't fit in. They don't speak the same language in the heart as Christians do. Though they may quote scripture with their tongues, they're happier in the company of unbelievers. The darkness of sin is their preferred environment. There are those who attend churches. Maybe there's someone here this morning. And the darkness of sin is your preferred environment. Like the otter in the zoo that shows himself in the light occasionally. You take your child to the zoo and you say, "We're going to see an otter. Where's the otter? He's come out, he showed his nose, and he shot back in to the safety of his dark den." There are those who are with Christians on the Lord's Day, but are much more at home when they return to the company of their unbelieving friends on Monday morning. And this is a contradiction, says John. Such people are lying about their faith in God and in the Lord Jesus. He says, if we say we have fellowship with God and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Anyone who is truly born again of the Holy Spirit will be walking in the light. So John is quite direct in his challenge. He's saying, you say you've seen the light, you say you've believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who reveals the light of God. If your testimony is genuine, then you should be living according to this light. You should no longer live as though you are still in darkness, but you should walk in the light. And this challenge comes to you and to me this morning. But what does it mean to walk in the light? Well, firstly, to walk in the light, we need to be in fellowship or communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 7, John says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light. And then in verse 3, truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. In John's Gospel, chapter 8 and verse 12, the Lord Jesus says, as we've seen already, I am the light of the world. And he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. To follow the Lord means to have communion with the Lord, to walk in fellowship, in friendship with him. And this means believing and rejoicing in the amazing truth that you have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ and by his death upon the cross. It means that you love the Lord, that you enjoy the knowledge of his presence with you every moment throughout the day and even in the wakeful hours of the night. It means that you are displaying something of the holiness of the Lord in your daily living, something of the beauty of his character that stands out in a world of so much ugliness. I wonder, do you know the Lord Jesus, and are you walking with the Lord Jesus in this way? But then secondly, says John, to walk in the light means that you are walking in true and happy fellowship with your fellow believers. Verse 7 again, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. But how do you know if you're walking in the light with your brothers and sisters in Christ? Well, there's so many descriptions in the New Testament of what it means to walk in the light with one another. But I just refer you to one in Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 15. Paul writes there, as the elect of God, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another. Even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. I want to ask you this morning, friends, are you walking in happy fellowship with the Lord's people? Rejoicing with those that rejoice, weeping with those who weep, having a loving, humble, forgiving spirit. There's so much joy in seeking by the grace of God to walk in the light in this way. But we all fail. We will never be perfect in this life. Our old nature is still lurking. We shall constantly fall into sin. And this sad fact might discourage us. It might even cause us to despair and to lose our assurance of salvation sometimes. But it need not and should not prevent us from walking in the light and in the assurance of the presence of the Lord in our lives and that he's taking us to heaven. Because John quickly reassures us on this point. In verse 7 again, he says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And this shows that there's a third very important aspect to walking in the light. Not just walking in communion with the Lord and walking in fellowship with fellow believers, but to walk in the light means we must be honest with the Lord. We must be open with Him. We must own up to being sinners still. Verse 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But then, of course, we have that wonderful promise of chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. In those verses, John is encouraging us not to sin. He's writing this letter, he says, so that through it his readers will be challenged to keep away from sin. But, he says, if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins. In other words, he has borne the full punishment of our sin, the full wrath of God against our sin in his own body upon the cross. Our daily sins, if we are Christians, cause our fellowship with the Lord to be marred. They bring us into a darkness, again, but it's the darkness of a tunnel. Not a darkness of unending night. There is light at the end of that tunnel. And in order to restore our fellowship with the Lord, we need to be open and honest before Him. And because we have Jesus as our propitiation and our advocate, then, says verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a wonderful promise we have then from the Lord. When we walk in this way of confession, in a constant spirit of repentance, a promise of constant blessing, immediate forgiveness, so the darkness into which we have fallen through particular sins can be dispelled and once again replaced by God's marvelous light. And so I urge you, believe with all your heart that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. Believe that the Lord Jesus is the only one who can bring the light of God to your soul. He's the one who reveals light into your heart. Trust Him. Trust in His death for your sins. Love Him. And go on loving for Him. Go on living for Him. Walk in the light every day. In sweet communion with the Lord. In faith. In holiness. In rich fellowship with God's people. And in honest confession of your sin, and rest in that wonderful promise. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Amen.